The number four, what you all been waiting for, right? The number four is what we'll talk about next. So here it is, drawn out, the number four. The number four is really just a plus sign with its arm raised to the square. So you gotta think about that. It's got squares and right angles, several different places. In fact, it's got four of them. Four right angles inside the four as you're making that. So think of the four as a plus sign. And here are some other symbols for the number four. The cross is the symbol for the number four. The peace sign, which is actually just the cross sign but broken because it's fallen down. It's also the sign for the Antichrist. The other symbol is earth itself. The earth has four seasons. So you see that circle with the plus sign in it? That's the actual universal symbol for the earth, which means there's four directions and four seasons. It represents the four seasons. And then we have the diagonal representing the cross and the fixings. We've got the X sign, the plus sign, and the minus sign representing fertilization and multiplication. And then that last symbol there is the trident. The trident is actually four. If you think of it, it's got three points, but it's also got the one going down too. So you've got to think of all of those four things going as four different areas. It represents the sea gods, it represents Christ himself, and it also represents Satan. You've seen Satan with the devil with this pitchfork, right? So there you have all three of those representing the three different people. So next, we're going to talk about addition and multiplication. We're going to talk about the history of where did we get the plus sign. So in Latin, the etymology of addition, in Latin, we get the word to add from the word ad, A-D, and it, which it means to or to put. So 3, 2, 4, right? You get that. And then in history, there was a Frenchman who decided to use the plus sign as the word et or the word and. So now we say 2 and 3 equal 5. So you use the word plus or and in the same, they're the same, they're synonymous. Symbolically, God teaches the vertical line, represents God's teachings, and then the horizontal line represents mankind. So you have now God's teachings here, and you're going to intermix it with physical life or mankind. So it's when mankind and God come together. That's when addition happens. More is added upon us. Line upon line is given to us. This is when we get more. So addition means and represents more. There are four right angles in here. And then God uses the word add a lot throughout the scriptures. A few of them are 2 Peter 1:5 that reads, add to your faith virtue. Another one is in Genesis 30, verse 24. It reads, the Lord shall add to me another son. And then in Luke 12:31, it reads, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. These are the ways he uses addition. In multiplication, it's quite exact, almost the same, right? But multiplication, you're multiplying bigger numbers. So addition, you're adding a little bit upon little, and multiplication is line upon line, right? So you have precept on precept, and then you have line upon line. It's bigger, it's faster. The etymology comes from the Latin word to multiplicare, which is to make bigger. The history of it is Oughtred, which is a man, is credited by using the X to mean the symbol for multiplication. But soon as he added the X into algebra, then he got mixed up with the algebra X and multiplication. And so, oh no, what do we do now? So that's when we came up with the star or the point. To add to the or the dot in multiplication. So in algebra we use the dot. And symbolically, the cross or this X symbol represents God. So when you hear see the word Christmas and you see the word Xmas, it doesn't mean that God has been cut out. It means that the X is representation of Christ. So it's talking about Christ himself as a symbol of the X. They're also with the cross, we talk about the chromosomes. You know, you look at chromosomes and they look like really long X's, right? And so the X comes from the chromosomes that we can see. And that's how also the chromosomes are how cells duplicate or divide and become more. In the scriptures from Genesis 9:14, we read, "Be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly on the earth and multiply therein." God uses the word multiply quite a bit. In Exodus 32:13, he says, "I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens." And then in Acts 12:24, he says, "But the word of God grew and multiplied." So these words are God's words. Like, he loves the words addition and multiplication, or to add and to multiply. So math. In math, we use addition and multiplication a lot. But let's look at the symbolism of multiplication with the addition in with numbers. So 4 equals 2 plus 2 and 2 times 2. It's the first time this has ever happened, right? As we're coming 1 plus 1 and 1 times 1 is not the same. But when we get to 2, it is. It actually represents the 2 as a doorway to a different number because it equals that same number. So it's the first time multiplication and division, or multiplication and addition, equal the same number. And then we can talk about 4 times 10, because 4 and 10 is just a higher number, right? 4, we're going to talk about 4 a lot, but right now I'm going to show you how 4 and 10 equal 40. And 10, in, especially in Hebrew, just means the act of, or it means to add upon. So we are adding 10 onto 4. So, or we're multiplying, actually. So it's an addition, right? It's an addition, but it's a multiplication thing. And 40 is a big number. So let's just take a look at 40, and then we'll go back to 4. 40. What do we see 40 in the scriptures? We see it a lot, right? It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. What does 40 really mean? I first learned, and when I talked about one of my professors, I said, "So what does 40 mean?" It means a long time. Okay, well, that's true. It does, but it has so much more meaning to it that you're going to love. Moses had 40 years in Egypt. He had 40 years in the wilderness with the Israelites, and he had 40 years with his wife and their family. Christ fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. The Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And then you also have books that talk about 40, like Alibaba and the 40 Thieves. But then you think about us and ourselves and how long it takes for us to have a baby. It takes a 40 weeks of pregnancy to have a baby. So 40 is quite a number that we use, even in today, as well as in ancient scripture. All right, now back to 4 and what its meanings, and what we're going to talk about, what 4 adds to. 4 is an additional number. So 4 adds volume to the geometric plant. Remember, we had strength and we had surface, but we did not have volume until we reached the number 4. It adds depth to the three-dimensional plane. We didn't have depth. We only had height and width, and now we have depth. It is beauty, because pattern is now introduced along with matter, and it creates more. And then it also, and this is the important part, this is the whole part of the number 4, it symbolizes earth life itself. The number 4 also symbolizes earth life. This is the most important part of the number 4, because this is what the 4 is all about, is earth life itself, the earth itself and this creation, the beauty of it. It talks about earth is the 4 seasons. It has the 4 corners. It's also a beautiful place to live. God wanted us to live in a place that produces food for us. It produces light and joy and happiness for us. He gave us a great planet in which to live. It's a place where we can fulfill our purpose, our individual purpose, and also help him fulfill his purpose. It is our setting. So let's talk about immortality. So the mortality, or our setting in which we're in, there are 4 different big elements in here. So we have 4 directions, which north, south, east, and west, and also our right hand, our left hand, our front, and our back. And then we have seasons, the spring and summer, fall and winter, and the 4 elements, which are land and water and fire and air. And then we have 4 states of matter, liquid, solid, gas, and light. Those are the four different things that we have on this planet that represent the four and what the whole Earth is made of. It's made of elements, it's made of matter, it's made of the seasons, and it's made of direction. So let's find some examples in nature. Flowers, of course, are a great example, then testify of the number four with four petals and in the shape of the square itself. The lilacs are four petals and they're beautiful smelling flowers. I love flowers. You'll see my flowers throughout the whole thing in here. It's just so beautiful. I love colors and I love flowers. But anyway, on here also, not just of flowers, but of leaves that have four petals. It talks about fire, water, air, and land, and how the different colors of that and the different energies for that as well. And then direction too. So here's some examples. And also remember that all even numbers are female numbers and all odd numbers are male numbers. So this is a female number. That's why we get mother a lot and we get that pattern for both motherhood and for mothers. Now, the next one is, let's just talk about the word Terra. Terra is a good earthly form. It's an earthly word, right? It means earth itself. It's a Latin word for earth. The planet Earth, solid ground, the terra firma, it's a symbol for substance, volume, strength, and stability. That's what the number four represents in geology. So in physics, you think of physics of the color, and you get light, right? The three main colors in light are blue and red and green. And when you put them together, and you can see that in this picture, you get four more colors. So the three main colors, you put them together and you get four more colors. And those four colors are yellow, cyan, magenta, and white. Here are some scriptures with the number four in it. I'm not going to go read them all, but I want to just pick out a few of them. I really love the second one. Zechariah saw a vision. He saw the four spirits of heaven, which go forth from standing before the Lord to all the earth. So there's four main spirits. And where are they standing? They're standing on the four corners of the earth, and they're going to go out to the world to talk to the world about whatever their message is. They're going to bring them a message. There's also in the scriptures, it talks about the four archangels or the four founding mothers, the four sore judgments of God for the Lord found in Ezekiel 14. And they are the sword, the famine, inquietude, and pestilence. Those are the four main judgments of God. Now, another one of the principles of the number four is the preparatory gospel. Let's look at Article of Faith number four, or think about Article of Faith number four when you're thinking about this. So here's just a picture of the feet. And the feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, which represents the gospel or the preparatory gospel. So what is the preparatory gospel? Do you know? I gave you a hint earlier. It's the fourth article of faith. It's first, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, repentance. Third, baptism by immersion for the remission of sins. And fourth, the laying on of hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is the preparatory gospel. If we didn't have that as our preparation, then we couldn't have any other gospel piece. That's our preparatory. That's our preparation. Okay, next we're going to just talk about a whole bunch of ideas of four. Four is found abundantly in the earth and life itself. You've got the ancient elements that we've talked about. You've got the states of matter that we've talked about. You've got space, which we talked about also, the right and left and front and back. You've got time, which is our seasons. Animals. Now, animals are interesting because in the temple, we talk about this too. We have creatures that crawl, right? They're earthly. Fishes that are in the water. Birds that are in the air. And insects. Now, where do insects fit? I always wondered like that. Why do we put insects above everybody else or in things? But it's because of the symbolism. Think about this. You have insects that are in the water, in the air, on the land, right? You have insects everywhere. They help everything to function. Without insects, we could not survive. And so it is representation of fire. You have personalities that are the four different types of personalities. You have the four different types of shapes. the platonic solids. You have four different platonic solids. You have four different areas in which the chakras are made. You have seven chakras, but you have four different types of chakras. And then the stages of an insect life, right? It starts with the egg that's silent. Then you have the hungry larva. Then you have the cocoon or the pupa. And then you have the winged adult. So the four stages of an insect. You have the pathway to awakening. The Egyptian stone symbolism are four of them as well. You have four functions. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ was also had four different areas. You had his service area, his persecution, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. And I put these all in order, so you read them from bottom to top. So I'm going to go back to this one. So you think, see the very first one, the earth or the solid. That's where the first one happens. Then you move up to water, and then upper, even farther up to air, and up to fire. And you can see that within your body, right? You start down low with your legs as the physical, and then you have in your stomach is your water area, where in your bowels or your water area, your heart and your lungs are, and throat are air. And then you have up, air, because you're breathing in air. And then on top of your head and above is where you think about fire or the spirit itself. So let's do an overview of the plan now with just the numbers 1 through 4. So number 1 represented the creation and God himself. Number 2 represented Heavenly Mother, also introduced us to the plan of salvation or the line. And it also gave us the fall, because with the Vesica Pisces, the fall. And then with the number 3, we are introduced to our first physical being, which is Jesus Christ. And then we also represented the atonement. With the number 4, we get mortality. The earth is now created in its physical form. So the atonement happens spiritually in the number 3. So the physical form is now formed with the number 4. And it's given a place for all of God's purposes to physically come about. It's the setting which we live. So to conclude the number 4, we're now going to talk about the fourths. We're going to talk about everything that we can, or not everything. I just picked 5. I picked 5 things of the number 4 within them. So the first one is the creation itself. On the 4th day, God created patterns and used matter to form the 4 elements and clothed the earth with the 4 seasons. So here I've depicted a square with the 4 seasons in them. And here are the 4 things that are created on that day. You got the 4 elements, the 4 directions, the 4 states of matter, and the 4 seasons. In Hebrew, the 4th letter and number is the Dalet. And check out the Dalet. It means tent. So you've got the edge of the tent here. You've got the roof of the tent on top. And then you've got that little flap that we talked about with the bet. Where it's the pointing to heaven. It's the triangle that says, I'm dedicating this tent to God. And it's just an open flap. It's the flap of the tent as you're being invited to come into the tent. It doesn't have the foundation like bet does, but it's just open like a tent, like you just set it on the ground. So I have this picture over in the corner where Christ is walking up to a poor man, because it is also a representation of a poor man. So Dalet is the poor man. So remember, 3 is Gimel, and Gimel is running towards the poor man to feed him, to help him. So it's Christ coming down and helping the mortals, us, that need help. So we've got the poor man here under the tent who can't move for himself, and Christ is lifting his tent and has found him and is now going to aid him in the help that he needs. So it represents the poor man, or Christ getting to the poor, or getting to the mortality and coming down and helping us. The 4th constellation is the archer. Now the archer is in the process. He's about to let go of the arrow, and he's killing the scorpion. And why is he killing the scorpion? Well, the scorpion in this case represents the devil. And he is a centaur. The archer is a centaur. And he is representing Jesus Christ, half man, half mortal. And this one's half man, half horse. So you're seeing that he's half of something, but he's got his bow and arrow, and he's shooting the archer. He's also known as the healer in this one because of his deacons. Now here's the 4th core principle. We talked about the first 3 core principles of individuality, and character with the number three. And then we've got the number four is your consciousness is your most sacred property. So how are we going to act? This is our personality. It's now, are we going to act with our consciousness or are we going to act with our natural man? Are we going to follow God or are we going to follow mammon? On the hand, we'll talk about the fourth finger. Now, the fourth finger represents the ring finger. It's where your ring is right here on your wedding ring, right? We wear that on the right hand. In Europe, they wear it on the right hand, but it's still the fourth finger on your hand. It's the one that points to your heart. It represents relationships within your family, relationships with yourself, relationships with God, relationships also with with your spouse. The fourth finger also represents marriage, so that therefore with your spouse, represents the here and the hereafter. It's about enjoyment and satisfaction and love. The fourth article of faith, which we read earlier, talks about four different things, the four areas in which is preparatory gospel, faith and repentance, baptism and the gift of the Holy Ghost. So to finish off, we're going to talk about the Platonic solids. Now, Platonic solids are anything that have equal sides and equal distance from the center. And we talked about the first one being the tetrahedron. So here it is, the definition of a Platonic solid that you can put in your vocabulary words. There are five different shapes within the Platonic solid that they found. There might be more, right? We haven't discovered them yet if there are, but we know of five. That follow the principle of equality in all directions by repeating the identical corner angle, the edge length, and the surface shape around that shape. So the first one we talked about earlier is the tetrahedron. It has the four edges and the four faces of a triangle. The next one is just like it, just a little bit different. It's got the eight sides, so it's called an octahedron, but they're all equal. They're all equilateral triangles, and they all are equidistant, not from each other's angles, but equidistant from on those edges. And the icosahedron has 20 faces, still again with the equilateral triangle. So you have three of them with the triangle. So you have the equilateral triangle here, and you have 20 faces put together, and that all equals a sphere, beautiful sphere. This one is vindictive of liquid or solid. So let's go back and talk about that just a minute. So the tetrahedron represents mother substance or light or fire. Okay, so this is the representation of light. Then you have the octahedron, which represents air or mother substance. Then the icosahedron is representation of liquid or water. And then we have the hexahedron, which we discovered today and learned how to draw today and how to create. It is solid. Therefore, it represents earth or the solidity of a physical, something physical. The last one is called the dodecahedron. It's created with pentagons. And that's why we're talking about this, because we're just finishing up the four and the square, and we're about to enter five, which is the pentagon. So as there's 12 faces. You put 12 pentagons together and you get a soccer ball, right? You can see a soccer ball out of that. You get a soccer ball and what looks like a soccer ball. So 12 pentagons put together equals the closest sphere. Then the closest next thing that is the Platonic solids. Now with the Platonic solids, what does this represent? We already have the four states of matter, right? But the dodecahedron brings it a little bit farther, brings it up a greater level to something new, a new level that we don't know. On Earth, we have four states of matter, but this introduces us to something new, something celestial. It's called quintessence or the fifth being. It represents that there is an all-compassing cosmos or heaven above. So it's going to introduce us to say, hey, once you figure out this earth life, there's something more. Okay? It's introducing us to the something more, which we will be talking about next time. Next time, we will talk about the symbolism for the number five, which is the pentagon, the pentagram as well, the star. So you can see both the pentagon and the pentagram here in this flower. And we'll also talk about the number five and then all things that have to do with five, the fifths of everything. So thank you for joining me for the number four. And I look forward to seeing you with the number five coming up real soon. Thanks a lot.